Now we come to what is probably one of the great chapters of the Scripture. I wish that I could spend a week in this chapter here, but I cannot. I'll move along. And don't complain, will you, not because we move along. Just remember, we're all on a Bible bus. Oh, it's just a type. It's just a picture. But we're on a Bible bus, and you leave the driving to us, will you? All right, now, verse 1 of chapter 28, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre. Now we are going to have a message in this chapter to the prince of Tyre, and then we're going to have a message to the king of Tyre. Verse 12. Now, back of this great kingdom, this great commercial center, great political center, great stronghold, you're going to find that there is the one who apparently controls the kingdoms of this world. He offered them to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus rejected them, but he didn't reject them because he didn't think Satan had them. He knew he had them. He just didn't accept them. He's going to rule over them someday, but not as a vicegerent of Satan. And this one today is the prince of the powers of the air. He today is the one back of the kingdoms of this world. Whether we like it or not, that's the picture. Now we have here the judgment against the prince. I think that here you have a type of Antichrist, the great Roman emperor that's going to rule. I don't like to run ahead, but as I suggested in 2 Thessalonians, and we'll go into detail when we get to the 13th of Revelation, actually it takes two persons to fulfill all that's said concerning the Antichrist. And after all, John said there are many. One will deny the person of Christ, be his enemy. The other will imitate him. You have a religious ruler and a political ruler. Now here you have, I think, the combination that is set before us. You have here the vicegerent of Satan. Now will you notice, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god. Now that's exactly what Antichrist is going to say. Going to make himself God. And he says, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now, another reference to Daniel here, and Ezekiel and Daniel were contemporary. This young man, Ezekiel, had great respect for Daniel, because Daniel was yonder in the palace, the prime minister, and was really standing for the Lord. Personally, I think Ezekiel had a hard job out there with the captives. I'd have much preferred living in the castle, although I'd have to spend one night in the lion's den. I think I'd take the castle, the palace of the king. But Ezekiel had no choice in that. But he respected Daniel. Now he says this prince, he was a smart boy. Now, if you don't think there were wise men in that day, you're wrong. I think they could put this so-called intelligence crowd that centers in Harvard today would make them look like Penny Ante, would make them look like they were in the kindergarten. These men in that day were wise men. Now, this is the prince, and I believe that he represents the political side, the ruler, because in verse 10 it says, Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of foreigners, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now let me back up and say that again and say it accurately. This is the religious ruler that he's talking about, and I think he comes out of Israel. This is the beast out of the land. Now Antichrist, the political ruler, comes out of the sea of the nations of the world, and I think he's a Gentile. And this other one will be his advisor, you see. He will be a sort of a prime minister to him. He'll be like Daniel was in Babylon, like Joseph was in Egypt, and like Disraeli was in England, and like Henry Kissinger was to President Nixon. I think you have that kind of a picture. And maybe I ought not to make that kind of a comparison, but I think it will illustrate. Now he says in verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," now this man Ezekiel's not going to let you forget that he's not telling you what he thinks. He's telling you what God's given to him to say. Now he says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre." Here you have a lamentation upon the king of Tyre. We've had a lamentation of the city. Now the king, great ruler. Remember, Hiram, king of Tyre, had been a friend of David's. David liked him. And I don't think David would have made any man his friend that was not an outstanding man, because David was. "And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." And immediately now we pass beyond the local king of Tyre, because they changed quite often back there. It wasn't safe to be a king. Uneasy hangs the head that wears the crown, and the glory didn't last long. It was like the bromide that is sic transit gloria mundi. That is Latin for "thus passeth the glory of the world." Now, back of that, the kingdom and the king is Satan. And I think now you have here one of those few passages in the Word of God that give you the origin of evil and the origin of this creature. And I would not want to press too much, but follow me very carefully. "Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Now, Satan is absolutely, when he was created, the wisest creature I think God ever created. But let's keep in mind, he's a creature. He was created. And he was perfect in beauty. Now, if you think Satan is a creature that has horns and a forked tail and cloven feet, you are wrong. You've been reading literature of the Middle Ages, and they get that actually out of a Greek mythology that goes back into Asia Minor. There's a great temple of Apollo. You find one in Pergamum. You find one in Corinth. And you find one in every city. There's one in Ephesus. And this temple of this god, he was the great god Pan. He is Bacchus, god of pleasure, has horns. He runs through the great vineyard. He's the god of the grape, of the wine. And the bottom part of him is a goat. Now, that's mythology. Word of God doesn't present Satan like that, friends. The Word of God presents him as perfect in beauty. If you could see him, you'd see the most beautiful creature you've ever seen. Paul says that even his ministers are angels alike. Somebody says, "You know, I heard so-and-so, and he's head of a cult or speaker of a cult. I heard one when I was a boy. Oh, he had gray hair. Fine looking. Oh, was he handsome. Fine looking man." And so many women even almost had swooned in his presence. They treated him as if he were a god. He almost claimed that. But he was a minister of Satan. I don't mind saying it. He almost led me astray when I was just a boy and never had any instruction. Oh, I tell you how terrible they could be. Perfect in wisdom. Just fill up the sum of wisdom. He knew all you know, unless you're God. And he was perfect in beauty. Now, verse 13, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Now, no king of Tyre could fulfill that. "Every precious stone was thy covering." Mine, and all these stones are given you. He was beautiful. "And they were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth," that is, he protected the throne of God, "and I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." And this is not the Eden that was in this world at all. This apparently is a picture of heaven itself. He had access to heaven, and we're told here, "The workmanship of thy timbrels and thy flutes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." He could not only sing, he was a band. He was music itself. You know where music originated? Go back and you'll find out in the order of Cain, his progeny. It was from them there's come the worldly music, and when I listen to some of it, I'm confident that it came out of the pit. It couldn't come from any place else. Now, my friend, may I say to you, we have a world of light given here. You talk about being a musician. Satan was a musician. Now, will you notice, what was it brought him down? Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Now, let me say this. If you are one of these saints that think you have arrived and you are perfect and you set yourself up as a standard, remember that Satan was the angel of light. He was perfect, but he fell. And if he fell, what about you? What about me? We're just frail human beings down here. Now notice this. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And what was that iniquity? Well, Ezekiel just doesn't tell us. Now, that's the reason that I emphasized Isaiah 14. What was it? Pride. I will lift up my throne. He wanted to divorce himself from God and be God. He was in rebellion against God. Now, he apparently protected the throne of God. He had the highest position that you could have. Now, God said what he was going to do. Pride brought him down. He says here, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. That sin is pride. Therefore I will cast thee. Notice what God says he'll do. God says, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. I don't know about you, this is comforting to me. I, frankly, wouldn't be able to overcome him. I'm no match for him. Therefore, I'm thankful that God's going to deal with him. Now he says, listen to him. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Oh, it was pride then, wasn't it? Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. You see, Solomon, the wisest man, played the fool. And here we have the greatest creature God ever created, perfect in wisdom. That is, he filled it up all you could learn. Now, he didn't know everything, but he played the fool. And the saints can do that today. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now, God's going to make a spectacle of him someday. Now, God says, verse 19, all that know thee among the people shall be appalled at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Thank God he's going to get rid of him in his universe. And we pray for that day to come. Now you have here, concluding this, a brief prophecy concerning Sidon. God says he's against Sidon, but he doesn't say he'll destroy. He just says there's going to be blood in the streets. And that's what happened. That's a matter of history. It stands over there today, and I've been in Sidon. Well, Sidon, no word about it being destroyed, did say the enemy would take it. But that city, and you find there that old fortress right out on the rocks at the edge of the water, that's been there from the early days. And that city has stood. It was never destroyed. It's there today, and it's the place where the oil is brought in from the Near East. And it comes by pipeline and put on ship there. Sidon is a thriving port right now, whereas down the coast you have the city of Tyre, the great city. It's destroyed, and there's no city there. It's a fishing village, but there's nothing where old Tyre was. God says it'll never be rebuilt. And I take it that he knows what he's talking about. And after 2,500 years, wouldn't you go along and say that apparently somebody knew what they were talking about? Now we conclude that section because in the darkest moment of the history of these people, you find the light breaking through, and never is it so bright, and he sees a future regathering of Israel. In verse 25 of chapter 28, he'd said, thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the nations. Now, God makes it very clear he's not through with the nation Israel. One of the reasons that there are so many theologians that get by saying God is through with the nation Israel is because God's people are not acquainted with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the minor prophets. The theme song of these prophets was God's not through with the nation Israel. It sounds like a stuck record when you go through these prophecies, and they should be studied because of that fact. It will throw absolutely new light on the Word of God, and it will no longer be a jigsaw puzzle, but everything begins to fall into place.